Good grief. Talk about getting the worm.
Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see.
It looks something like this.
Ugh.
1.21 gigawatts.
What the hell is a gigawatt?
You're listening to the Hashtag Ginning podcast, brought to you by Auburn University's Samuel Ginn College of Engineering.
Well, hello again. Once again, it's like the 260-something time. I don't even know what it is.
Wow.
The best podcast in all of higher education coming at you. Folks, so congrats to us and you for getting to know us. That would be the award-winning Hashtag Ginning, brought to you by the Samuel Ginn College of Engineering's Office of Communications and Marketing. I work for that place. Communications and Marketing Specialist. Jeremy Henderson is my name. I'm hosting a podcast is my game. Got my co-host over here with the co-most, Austin Phillips, the director of the aforementioned office. We have old Francis Scott himself. Are you getting sick of that, the Francis Scott thing? His name's Scott Key, but I mean Francis Scott. Your parents had to know something. Wait, what's the middle name again? We figured it out.
It was Scott.
It wasn't F though, wasn't it? Yeah. Like Fitzgerald or
no?
No, my first name is David.
Yeah, David, that was it.
David
with an F.
Yep.
David Scott.
Wait, David with an F.
David Scott Key. Today, a very special guest. I'm very excited. You know, Twitter, Twix, X, whatever we're calling it these days.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then you get one going on Twitter. You do it right.
You do,
you post
Jer?
It. I do.
Okay.
Every now and then
From our account or from
our account?
Our
account. I can get it cycling and it gets going and everything if you write the right thing. And the other day I put out there, how has no one ever thought of this before? And then something else. And then a link to a certain story that Carla Nelson,
mm-hmm.
up our
good,
liaison,
good story.
Up in Industrial and Systems Engineering, wrote about a young man, only a sophomore, named Thomas Lester.
This is the second sophomore we've had.
And I think the photo, I don't know who took the photo. Maybe she took the photo, Danny, or Marcus, or John, somebody took the photo. Anyway, and it's Thomas, only the sophomore, holding a can. Looks like some sort of like soft drink kind of a can.
It's hot coffee.
But it's hot coffee, and it's like, you know, entrepreneur,
wow,
early bird, yada, yada, yada. And it was something about the photo and something about that. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. We have here not just a stellar student, I'm sure, but an entrepreneur, a genius. We were getting Bama fans saying, I hate Auburn, but this guy's a genius. CEO, founder? What are we calling him?
Founder, I guess.
Founder.
You can't call yourself a CEO until you have employees. So
you can't?
I mean, you can.
I better edit something.
Hey, Jer, take that sign off the door, bud.
That's my personal belief.
Okay, personal belief. Yeah. All right, well, hey, sign me up. Thing. Whatever. If you want a CEO, I'll be here.
A fourth generation Auburn engineering student?
I believe so.
Whoa.
We've got a lot of engineers.
Woo.
I like it.
I don't know if we've gone that
far. I don't know if we've had four.
I think we've
just hired a fifth, but we haven't interviewed.
I think we've done some threes, maybe. I don't know
four
about
is pretty strong.
Yeah.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Another distinction. Early bird, this apparently just genius, straight up genius idea. I want to hear about it. It was you were in the tiger cage.
Yep.
Who do we got here today, Jer?
Thomas Lester.
All right. Said it. Did I miss it? I'm sorry.
Yeah. I got you.
I missed it this time.
Back on up.
I was reading.
And
you got the name right, too.
I know. So I was pretty good. Last time, butchered the heck out of that. That was bad.
Yep.
Anyway, so let's find out first about you, and then we'll get into early bird and all that jazz. So fourth generation, man. Where are you from originally?
Yeah, so I'm from Montgomery, Alabama. My dad's a pastor there in Montgomery.
Hey.
I've got four siblings. My sister graduated here in industrial. My older brother got a master or MBA in finance here, and he also played football here for 4 years, linebacker. My other brother, he's an accountant from here. He actually still works in Auburn, and he graduated as well a couple of years back, and he works for HHB Accounting downtown. And then it's me, the fourth out of five, and then I've got my younger brother, John Bennett, who probably will be here in about two more years. So that's
hot diggity dog.
The general family.
All in the family.
So, yep. Were parents Auburn engineers?
My mom was just a stay-at-home mom from Sanford.
Okay.
She went to Sanford. And then my dad, he was a civil engineer before going to seminary and becoming a pastor.
Awesome. Yep. And so then grandparent?
Yeah, my dad, my dad's dad.
So, Auburn engineer.
Yep.
And then his dad.
Yeah.
So it is a fourth generation and the fourth. Uh-huh. I was wondering if that's what we meant. But
yeah, same thing. No, yeah, that's where I was getting at too. Everything. Yeah.
Yep, and I've got uncles and aunts that were all engineers here too, and I believe you're gonna have to fact check me on this, but my great aunt was the first ever female to graduate with an engineering degree here, and she didn't actually get the degree, but she got every credit. That women weren't allowed to be in engineering back in that time. I mean, it was long, long ago, and she took every credit on the side of like that you would have to get an engineering degree. And so she went back, and they counted as an engineering degree. So technically, she got it on the side without taking engineering.
Okay.
And was an engineer. So she was technically the first.
Well, hot diggity dog.
From our families.
Oh, we
got to dig into this.
If her name wasn't Maria Whitson, we're gonna have to do an asterisk.
A little revision. A little asterisk. There.
They were all rocket scientists for NASA in the 60s, and they're lots more than I am. And they were responsible for, the coordinate system that we use to get, the initial rockets into space. So it's pretty cool. She's known as one of Alabama's hidden figures. I'm not sure if y'all have seen the movie.
Yeah.
But she's got that title.
What's her name?
Joyce Neighbors.
Joyce Neighbors.
Yeah, she's no longer alive, but we would go up to Huntsville where she lived and visited her most of my life. And she was always a huge influence on me in terms of, engineering and just, wanting to do something special. She clearly did and kind of set the trend for the family and kind of want to follow in that footstep.
Awesome.
We may need to get a piece of paper, give him a paper cut and see if it's orange and blue.
Yeah, I think it is.
I mean, my gosh, the roots runneth deep.
They do. It's the best university, around.
Amen.
You can't beat it. You can't beat it.
Well, so who was your, it wasn't Brad Lester, was it?
Bart.
Bart Lester.
Yep, that's my dad. Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I mean, that was, who's the football player?
Oh, Barton, yeah.
Barton. Okay,
yep.
Gotcha.
Yep, he scored 2 touchdowns, had a great 4 years.
War Eagle.
He was, he went to Air Force initially out of high school, played a couple of years. He did a prep school year, 2 years Air Force, 4 years at Auburn.
Good grief. Awesome.
Quite a number of years, but he ended up doing pretty well once he got to Auburn. And
well, a lot of times we ask people like, "So why Auburn?" I don't think we really need to ask that right now. Apparently, it was a law. We will disown you if you do not.
Exactly.
Is kind of how it sounds. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into it. I mean, you're only a sophomore. A lot of times, you hear these entrepreneurs and everything, and it's kind of as they're getting close to hitting the real world and thinking along those lines, and here we are. And you've also partnered with Eugene Asante.
Yes, sir.
And what position is he? Linebacker.
He's a linebacker.
Yep. And
all SEC.
I mean, he's incredible. He's a big deal.
Yeah.
And so obviously, I'm assuming that gives you an extra little bit of maybe some clout to early bird. But the product, the idea itself, let's get into it. What is the idea? Where did it come from? And why aren't Alabama fans being like, okay, you're cool?
We're converting them. So basically, I was visiting my grandparents back in October, and that's about a 6-hour drive to where they live. And I was driving back, and I had to get to my class because I'm always pushing it on time. It was roughly 4:30 in the morning. I'm in my car, got no time to stop for coffee, and I've been drinking coffee since I was 5 years old, so I need coffee, especially for a 6-hour drive. And so I was just thinking in my head, I was holding a protein shake and shaking it, and I was like, gosh, why don't I have something like that where I could shake it to heat? And that's where the initial idea of Early Bird was. And called everybody in my family. I was like, listen, I got this idea. We need to make a ready-to-drink hot coffee. And I've had, my first business when I was 13. I had a carpentry business for 5 years. So I've always had like an entrepreneurial spirit. Definitely tried to push, different ideas and products in the past. But this one was like different. I could just tell like I really wanted to pursue this because it's something I'm passionate about. So that was the initial idea, was shake to heat. So that's where it came from. And immediately as I got back, I ordered stuff on Amazon Prime. 2 days later, threw together a prototype. And it would definitely not be safe to drink from that prototype. But it did kind of prove the concept of you can use a mineral reaction to heat liquid within a can. And so that was kind of where we started. By November, we had that first working prototype, which was iteration number 8, I believe, of like the design. And then we had, tiger cage going on, And that's where things like really changed on the business side. It became more of like, okay, we got to have a strategy behind this. We got to really get these MVPs looking good and working. Well, we ran into some problems. The semifinals round of the Tiger Cage, which is like Shark Tank for those that don't know, here at Auburn, it was going great. We were doing great. And then the last question, we got really challenged on unit costs because, like, how are you going to produce this thing that's a specialty product for, you know, competing with the canned cold brew market, which I'll get into that later. But canned cold brew is a $35 billion industry just based off being ready to drink. And people do like the cold brew taste, but most of the factor is the efficiency of it. Just like Keurig, they do 14.38 billion last year, you know, just off efficiency. And, you know, people don't really love the taste of Keurig. It's not a very fresh product. So that was the efficiency part. But got challenged on unit costs, and I was just, I was a little bit bummed about it. I was like, you know, we've been talking to different people who have supply chain experience, manufacturing experience. We got a really good, extensive advisory board that Auburn has been huge in helping us get. I mean, we've got some really incredible people who are a lot older and wiser than I am, because handling every factor of, you know, intellectual property and the actual product development and then the business side, it's a lot. So that's been huge. But I was like, just thinking to myself, like, we've got to change this some way. So that picture was actually when we still were using the can. We decided to switch to a paperboard carton. Mm-hmm. So it looks almost like, I wish I had one with me. We can put a picture up somewhere. It's got a big lid on top. So it's like a kind of like the coconut water you may see those, or juice box material.
And I'm an ack and shake kind of guy. So yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we switched to that material for the container, and that was huge because it's more insulating and you can hold on to it easier. And then we've got a patent pending on this. It's a Mylar bag, so it's an aluminum bag within that. So that's what holds the beverage, and then wrapped around it is a, you know, a mineral patch. And then within there, there's kind of like almost like a water balloon, and you press a push point and it drops the water onto the mineral patch, rapidly heating the bag from the outside. And it sounds real complicated, but it's really just a bag inside of a bag with a mineral patch and a little button. So I forgot to explain what Early Bird is now. It's basically a single serve hot coffee, and you just press a push point, and anytime, anywhere, faster than a Keurig, you can have a hot coffee. It's vacuum sealed, pre-made beverage. It can be hot chocolate or tea. My personal favorite is coffee, though. So we just wanted to beat the Keurig on efficiency. We think that there's this massive, massive opportunity in the market to provide a ready-to-drink hot coffee. And we think this is where the coffee industry is eventually going to head. But when I went to go look for intellectual property, do patent searches, extensive searching, there's really nothing out there. There's been attempts at self-heating cans before, but there's never been an attempt at a self-heating paperboard carton, which is going to save us so much on unit cost and make it an affordable product. Eventually, I want to get it to where it's cheaper than a coffee shop in most cases. I was just at Starbucks the other day and got a small coffee for $3. Mm. We optimally want to hit the market at about $3.85 to compete with the canned cold brew market. But that's basically, in essence, what Early Bird is. And what we're actually getting the most traction on is a 96-ounce self-heating tote. So it's full of 96 ounces. You may see them at all-day meetings. You may see them for like a breakfast of some sort or large gathering. Or in the office, and these are from, like, you know, Thrive Coffee does them, Panera does them, a lot of different companies do these, but it's a huge problem in industry. I was talking to one of my, you know, guys to go talk to, Wade Preston, who's been a huge help, and he's the founder of Prevail Union Coffee, and he was like, this is a huge issue because, you know, for a coffee shop to produce 96 ounces of coffee, they have to really, you know, they have to stop what they're doing with the single serve where they're, you know, serving customers in store for this, you know, huge amount of coffee for a meeting, and they fill it 2 hours early. Not always, but, you know, they'll fill it 2 hours early, and then when they hand it off, you know, they're supposed to last 6 hours, but once they start opening it, it's dramatically less. It's 1 to 2. So by the time you're actually in your meeting and everybody's done with the meeting, it's always almost always cold or lukewarm, and people like their coffee hot. So we've developed the second product in the line which is this 96-ounce self-heating tote. I've actually done, we've done very, very limited testing on it. But the test that I did Friday, it was hot for 8 hours with opening intervals, opening the lid in intervals of a couple hours apart. So self-heating got up to, you know, that 170 range. We probably want to dial it back to about 150 for liability reasons. We don't want to be like McDonald's and get sued for having too hot of coffee.
Yeah.
But that's the second product, and that's the one that I don't think is long-term going to be the big growth, but we have gotten a lot of interest in getting that one put out there, because it's a smaller batch unit that you can produce. It's something that you have a lot more margins on because you're selling them for $30 a piece instead of $385 a piece. So that's kind of where the business is at right now. We're just working on getting those shelf-ready prototypes, finalizing a lot of our IP. We've only got 2 patents pending. About to be 3, and then we got to work with a patent lawyer to get more of the manufacturing process covered. But that's where we're at as a business right now.
Thomas Lester, ladies and gentlemen.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I swear.
Didn't mean to talk down to people.
I'm telling you.
Just so successful, have vision and everything.
I can barely drink coffee, much less invent ways to heat it.
I mean, you were probably at that age just thinking about your high score in Mario Kart or something. I mean...
Jeez.
What in the world? This is depressing, frankly. But we get a little pick-me-up with the coffee. That'll be good. I'm assuming we're talking about, like, okay, gas stations, like, have them on the shelves, or are we just talking, I mean, grocery stores? Like, where would people be buying these things, do you think?
Yeah, so for the tote, we do, the 96-ounce tote, we do more business-to-business sales.
Sure.
Or what we really want to do is eventually get into, like, a Costco or a Sam's Club.
Okay.
Where they can just pick it up off the shelf and go with it. So that's the ultimate goal for the tote. For the single serve, we actually want to do packs of 4 and 12.
Okay.
This is for freight purposes, you know, trying to save money where you can on a product that has a little bit lower margins than just, say, just a can that's been filled. But that one optimally would be in your house. So you'd have a pack of 12. Say you're late to work, school, church, whatever, and you're just ready to get out the door and you don't have time to make coffee, which I find myself in this situation about, you know, 7 times a week.
And also, I mean, not only is it a single serve, I guess, ready, you know, hot right there, but I think for myself, if you're running out the door and even just have it packaged like that, if it's what I'm thinking, I mean, even just the conveyance of it and the, I don't know, to me, that would be that it's hot, but also that you can just grab it, not worrying about spilling it constantly, sloshing out of a mug or even, you know, sometimes you leave off the little cap on your Yeti and then it sloshes. Scott knows what I'm talking about and he's sitting there. And anyway, I mean, like what are you drinking of out of there? Imagine if you had a nice little cap on it. You know what I'm saying? That's I mean, imagine that's coffee right now.
High
you
quality
do that,
H2O.
And it's all over your pants. Anyway, yeah. I mean, you had people on there being just like, okay, I can get behind this. You know, this is a great idea.
Recyclable?
Nearly fully recyclable.
Okay.
So we're picking up an advisor in that field. I visited MEMS Recycling here in Auburn, and I've done some research on the recyclability of it. That's a huge aspect, and this is a product that's, you know, it's really targeting everybody, but we want to initially for our early adopters, we think that the group that would potentially, according to our research, be the most, you know, gravitate towards it the most would be, you know, that freshly out of college to, you know, mid-30s range. And, you know, that range of consumer does have environmental, that's a huge aspect of the business for them. They want to see that it's recyclable. But we're nearly there. All the parts individually are fully recyclable. It's just a matter of getting a system to where we can make sure that every part, you know, all in one is fully recyclable, which we think that we're going to get there. Or we know that we're going to get there eventually, but we just got to pick up an advisor and work on the manufacturing process.
Love it. And how did you get hooked up with Asante?
So my brother played with Asante, and they were both linebackers, and they were just good friends. They hit it off from the beginning. I think, you know, Asante is one of those guys where, I mean, he's really got everything in the world going for him. He's just like the most incredible guy and to work with. And I think that, you know, Barton really saw that. He was like, wow, this guy, you know, he's going to be one of those people that's just like either in the we know he's going to be successful in the league when he gets there. But just in general, I mean, he's going to be a success story. And I think they built a good relationship up. And when I came up with this idea a little while ago, about 6 months ago, and then got in this competition, Barton was like, you're going to need more energy in your pitch. You need somebody that can, for a product like this, that's so like, you know, you're going to have to get those early adopters. You're going to have to get attention behind it. He said, you need somebody that brings the energy, who's got great branding. And I mean, he really does, like, he brands himself, you know. When he walks around campus, people know, like, that's Eugene Asante, like, let's work. And so he filled that role perfectly. He was all about it. He wanted to get involved, and we're going to keep working together. We got some other big things planned in terms of different pitch competitions we're going to try to go to. But, I mean, he is, like, he brings so much value to the business. I can't state enough how much I've appreciated him being on board and how much excitement it brings to me to have him on board in the future.
Yeah, I'm seeing big things.
I hope you can make one into a hot toddy, like for late in the football season when I'm watching.
Yeah,
I can just press the button. And
that's what I want to do. Did you bring any? I want to press them like a Reebok pump. You know, I mean, like I want to watch that bad boy heat up.
That up, baby.
Yeah.
I had six of them in my car, but I had to get run over to take this test before this, and I didn't bring them. But I got y'all. I'll be back around here.
All right.
Here soon.
What coffee are we putting in there?
Yeah. So that's a great question.
Is that the Prevail Union? I mean, is it the Prevail folks?
Yeah, so the idea is we are more of like the technology company that, you know, produces the product. So we got two different co-manufacturing like systems that we're trying to implement. Our advisors are helping a ton with that. And so the idea is we get them a finished product. They, we license it out to different coffee producers, different roasters, you know, brewers. And that's where Wade Preston's huge. He knows everybody, and he's just wants to help. He loves the idea. So we're going to license. We're going to try to do non-exclusive licensing deals. So we'll have multiple brands. We want to focus on that kind of like the mid-range brands. So we don't want to go for the huge brands yet. We want to just start with that mid-range where they're going to be motivated to sell it, and they're also going to want to be, you know, the first people to have this product. And so we're going to work with different coffee brands, and they're going to put their own coffee in it.
Sure.
It's going to take a bit of a different recipe to be shelf stable for 6 months, just like, you know, the canned cold brews, that are on the market. It's actually, that technology is getting significantly better. I'm not a huge fan of the canned cold brews. They all have tons and tons of sugar and milk, and I like my coffee just black, but, we're going to leave that up to the producers. We're going to do a unit run of 500 units to test the market, see what people like flavors wise, and then we'll, you know, carefully watch what's going in, but because, you know, we want to make sure that our product is seen for what it is, but we'll give guidance on this is what our test market has shown that the consumer wants.
Yeah, I almost hate that y'all aren't even making your own coffee with it, because to me Early Bird would be such a great name for a coffee company by itself. I mean, I know obviously that it's you know, playing off of that just with the technology and but I was almost just so hoping that I could, you know, you could just walk in and pick up a six pack of Early Bird, you know. I mean, that sounds like something that would take
that
off.
That goes back to the toddy.
Yeah, exactly.
There's early times, yeah, different.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, and I just keep hearing the best part of waking up is Lester in your can.
Lester in your can. That's a Folgers Crystals.
Yeah.
Probably a little young.
Yeah, to know that
commercial.
Bringing new things.
But anyway, well, Thomas, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us and explain this.
Thank y'all.
This was better awesome. Than I was hoping.
Yeah, well, this was really awesome.
I mean, to hear, I feel like we got the...
Well, now I got to know what wins in the tiger cage.
And are you taking investors? I mean, like, you know.
They've already had it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I got to see what won. If this didn't win, I got to know what won.
It was like a company.
Abs Glow.
They're out of California. You know, they're a bit older than us. They've been going for quite a semester. We kind of like how we were. We like how we were a little bit further back because we still got so much to prove.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting through five rounds over the last 5 months, getting through all that based off an idea originally, And then being able to show them an MVP by the end of it,
and I got,
and then get two patents pending.
I just love the idea of you buying, getting on, hopping on Amazon and buy. I mean, what the heck did you buy that you could have proof of concept, like some flint and like some snap and pops and like, I mean, what do you buy it off of Amazon?
Hand,
you could just like
hand warmers and wrap them around.
Magnesium iron alloy.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's wild. You just wrap the hot hands around the thing.
Shake them up.
Shake
wrap
it
them up.
I guess there that would go. Work. Okay. Hey, Thomas, thanks so much. Yeah, and yeah. War Eagle.
Appreciate it.
War Eagle.
You're listening to the Hashtag Getting Podcast, brought to you by Auburn University's Samuel Ginn College of Engineering.